saints is with dancing on the streets of gold, and she's learned the. She had just a little taint of old time false teaching that she had a hard time overcoming, but she did it. Rovella. This is one of her favorite songs. Come sing it, Brother Eric and Sister Rovella. Now you know for sure. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That's not what he's singing.
And those of you that were blessed enough to know Sister Rovella know that she's probably still found something to argue about.
Not with God, though.
You will recognize this song. Matter of fact, it's in our hymn book. Has slightly a different twist. Listen to the words. Because as Christians, we all have deliverance. And we all know the deliverance that waits for us on the other side. So I pray that you'll enjoy it, but more so I pray that you'll hear the words like it's the first time you've ever heard the song.
Garments clad and struggling up the mountain, it seemed that he was sad. His back was heavy laden, his strength was almost gone. But he shouted as he journeyed, deliverance will come. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory. I shall wear. I saw him in the evening. The sun was sinking low. He'd overcome the mountain and reached the veil below. He saw the golden city, his everlasting throne, and he shouted, "La Hosanna!" Deliverance will come. Palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory, I shall wear. While gazing on that city, just for the narrow flood, a band of holy angels came from the throne of God. They bore him on their pinions, they pour the dashing foam, and join him in his triumph. Deliverance has come. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory, I shall wear. It seems I hear the angels around the throne of God. They're shouting, "Glad Hosannas, we've reached the promised land." When we have reached that city, our race on earth we've run. We'll all shout, "Glad Hosannas, deliverance has come." Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory, I shall wear them. Palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory, I shall wear.
Happen. It's happening now. Okay, tonight I told you, God willing, and He was, that we would speak on the subject of testing the spirits. You see, I don't have the time to go through all the different scriptures, but back before the world as we know it today, this universe was ruled by angels. It was the age of the angels. And there was one angel who was given the privilege and the honor of being the guardian of that past universe. He had a glorious name back then. His name was Lucifer, the Shining One, the One who shined. And he had the highest honor next to Almighty God Himself. But he became arrogant. He became his power. You know, power is a very dangerous commodity. It can either make you or break you. And he had great power given to him by God. Now, don't get off into wondering whether God knew ahead of time and all of that, because that's not your business. Let's stay with it and let him take God take care of the sovereignty and the all-knowing and all that. You know, we try to get into his business just like the devil did. He became the devil. But Satan wanted to be higher than God, more than God. And he, according to the Bible, he said, "I will lift up my throne." My throne. It wasn't his throne. It was loaned to him by God. You haven't got any throne. You haven't got anything. Everything you have is given to you by God. Thank you. Thank you for giving him the honor and glory. And when he did, according to the book of Revelation, 1/3 of the angels followed him away from God. These are what we who are basic believers know as the unclean spirits, demonic spirits. According to the Bible, part of them are incarcerated, and part of them have been given a certain amount of leeway. They actually serve God by testing those who claim to be and those who and are proven not to be. God has never allowed Satan to do one second, of anything in your life except to prove His honor and His glory in your life. Now, as a prelude to testing the spirits, if you will bear with me, and I don't usually jump around in the Bible, but there are some things that are subjects in the Bible. And you, in order to learn them, you have to study them where they appear as subject. You're not doing it to jump here and prove this little point and that little point and put a crossword puzzle together that doesn't work. But there are references to certain subjects, and that's what I'm going to start with tonight. And if you stay with me, you'll know why. Now, the first scripture we will turn to is the scripture that is found in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. And we only want to deal with a part of verse 4. 3-4. Now, what we're proving is this. That your soul and your spirit that has been touched by God cannot be corrupted. That's why you can't be lost after you're saved. Because that's what part of you is saved. The rest of it is going to burn forever in hell, even though you yourself may be in the presence of God. Now, don't get all excited about that and worry about it if you didn't understand it. I'm just saying the part of you that's going to be with God and that counts is going to be the part of you that is incorruptible. And that's made possible by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want you to get all worried about all you ladies about whether you wear paint and powder and paint and that what makes you look like what you ain't. I don't want you to worry about that because that's how most people take this scripture and they never see the real truth. The church, wives and marriage, as I had told you this morning, deals with Christ having the church as His bride. And the church is not to decorate herself with her own ornaments, but she is to be decorated with the gifts of God that is bestowed upon the church. And the church, so much of it is fake because you can read for yourself the later on, not right now if you will please, wait. But this is dealing with outward adornment, this chapter, the first part. And don't get all excited about whether you could wear this or wear that or not wear this, not wear that. God does not look at the outward part of a person, He looks at the inward part. But this is really talking about the church in that we are not to ornament the church with human ornamentation. We are to let it be ornamented with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Then we won't have to be worried about evil spirits coming in and messing with the church. Evil spirits have come in and tried to mess with this church. And I hope that you have been, I don't want to sound bragging, but I hope you have been appreciative of the way that I allowed God to let me handle those evil spirits. Thank you, Lord. You know, an evil spirit would love to have a confrontation. You know? And the confrontation has to be done. We have to be smarter than they are. Are you smarter than the devil? Well, you sure are if you're saved. You are. But the part I want to read to you is just a part of 1 Peter 3:4. Now, the thing we're trying to establish from the Scripture, is there a part of you, after you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is incorruptible? Now, there's part of you that is corruptible, we all know that. But we don't want to major on that. We want to look at the, is there a part that's eternally incorruptible? And here in verse 3 of 1 Peter 3, it's verse 4, mercy me. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Get thee behind me, Satan. But let it be the hidden man, the person you can't see, of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. Didn't say it might be, it says it's not. There's a part of you, when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and I don't mean you had some kind of emotional experience at some religious hyper situation. I'm talking about when the Holy Ghost got a hold of you like the Holy Spirit got a hold of that young couple this morning and brought them from the balcony all the way down here. Of course, I knew God was going to do that because God had already said, they belong to this. They're yours, church. They're yours, Liberty. And I thank God for those who helped in bringing them in. But it says there's a hidden person in you. Hidden. Hidden from who? Evil spirits. They can't find you. They're seeking you, but they're not going to find you. You're hidden from them. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit which in the sight of God is great price. Now what he's saying here is very important. That part of you, you may be hot-headed, and you may say things you shouldn't say in the flesh, and you may even act like you're not even a believer. There are people that have that kind of a human spirit. They just can't keep their mouth shut. They've always got to be beating somebody down, criticizing them, condemning them, and even abusing them. But thank God there is a part of you that you need to let shine. And that is the quiet, meek spirit that God has hidden away inside of you. Now, the next scripture we want to turn to, we're talking about something in you that's not corruptible, that can get into heaven. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 9:25. This is using the metaphor of the athletic fields of Greece, the Olympics. And every man that striveth for the mastery, that is to win the prize. They're having, I understand, some kind of big golf tournament in Tulsa. A lot of people are striving to win that. So do you think people who do that play marbles down on the ground? No, they practice and practice and practice. The only reason I won't play golf is I'm no good at it. And I don't want anybody to see me not good to anything. So I just don't play. I hit a tree and sand and water. I don't strive to be a good golfer. So if I did, maybe who knows, I might beat Tiger. But I'm not going to do it. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. That simply means you have to be disciplined in all things. For they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. That which you have done in the name of Jesus will be given to you, and it cannot be corrupted. Your reward is sure. I remember one person, he's gone on now. He didn't make the mastery like he could have. But I remember him asking me a question when I first became his pastor. He said, "The Bible says if you give a drink of water in the name of Jesus, you shall in no wise lose your reward." So whatever you have done in your life, only for the sake of Jesus, no one can take it away from you. It's yours forever and ever and ever. We're talking about things that are not corruptible, because the unclean spirits are out to lead you down the corrupt road and make a fool out of you before it's over with. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:5. 1 Corinthians 15:5. Now remember, the reason I'm jumping around is I'm following a subject. I'm following a subject, the incorruptible subject. 1 Corinthians 15, let's start with 51. Read with me. Watch your Bible. "Behold, I show you a mystery." All of you have got Agatha Christie and John Grisham and all those mystery writers. You're a mystery. Did you know that? You're a mystery even to yourself. You're shocked at who you really are in Jesus. When you let go and let God, you couldn't believe that this could happen to you. And I'm waiting for, I hope I live to see the day that a few people I'm just thinking about, without condemning them, let go and let God. What a day that's going to be in this church, when they just fly all around this place. I'm waiting. I'm believing. And some of you that's wanting to do it won't because they're cause they won't. Once they did, all of you'd get loose. You say, well, I don't want to be here on that time. I like calm church. Well, I can give you a lot of recommendations. A lot of recommendations. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, or we shall not all die physically. But we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Glory to God. And we shall be changed. You say, what about that scripture, Bill? But it says, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are. But our flesh isn't new. There wasn't one thing changed about your fleshly nature when you accepted Jesus as your Savior. Now, there might have been some people around that thought they'd like to embalm you and paint you up and put you in a spiritual casket and show you off like Lenin and some of these other popes and so on that they have in a glass case. You know what they have to do every so often on those things? They have to close the doors, lock them, and bring in somebody and let them paint them over again. Because they're decaying. That it's just another way of saying, I will not let them go back to the dust because they're a hero to us. But a true hero wants to go back to the dust. One of the marks! And you might should get a hold of this mark. Every true hero of God wants to get this thing here to get back to the dust as soon as it can. We don't want to be preserved and pickled. This thing can turn into a billion microscopic cells and be blown all over the world, and God can find it and put it back together again. Amen? For the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Now their spirit's already back with God who gave it, but their spirit will be united with a glorified body. Their spirit left an unglorified body. We shall be changed. For this corruptible, come out of our physical body, must put on incorruption. Thank God. And this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, you're not going to win. You're not going to win. You're a loser. But the last enemy that shall be destroyed, the last enemy for this physical body that shall be destroyed is the physical death. Now look at 1 Peter 1:23. As I said, I'm following this in a subject matter so that you'll be able to see that there's a part of you that's incorruptible, because one of the marks of the false prophets and false teachers and evil spirits is they want you to believe that God that they can take you away from God. Liars. Some of you have been raised in that atmosphere and you bought it because it sounded logical. But God is not logical. God is reasonable. Did you get that? Did you hear that? Now, 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again. Now, how many times can you be born again? Well, it wouldn't be again and again, would it? You know, some of these people need to sing in their church, ye must be born again and again and again and again. Come on, smile. Am I right or wrong? They get born again so many times they forgot they were born. You're born once of the Spirit. Jesus didn't die 15 times for you to go through some quacky theological junk and trash. When He saves, He saves. Your flesh may not act like it. But we're not talking about acting. We're talking about God acting. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. See, those of you who believe you can lose your salvation, you believe you've got a corruptible seed inside of you when God saves you. It's a bad seed. Well, of course, a bad seed is going to bring forth a bad plant. So if you brought forth a bad plant, you didn't get the seed of God. You got the seed of the devil. And I can see why, because some of these shenanigans that are going on and gone on, no wonder people are spiritually crippled because of the fact they've been manipulated by some high-flying, hypnotic theologian. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. I don't know about you. Only you and God know about you. And maybe only God. But when you came to that moment when you received Jesus as your personal Savior, God did not put a corruptible seed in you. He put an incorruptible seed in you. Believe it! Evil spirits, and I'll not, for the sake of your own mind, I'll not name the person. But my wife and I, we'd been to Israel and we were having to spend the night in New York. And I turned on, this is back several years ago, we turned on a high-flying TV preacher. He stuck his finger out in that TV, said, "You Baptist out there, you think you can't lose your salvation? Well, I'm here to tell you you can." And I said to my wife, "Oh God, have mercy on that man." Not because he said something about a Baptist. He wasn't talking about Baptists. He was talking about God. It wasn't too long we found out that he was slumming it. And he fell. He fell not from salvation. I believe the man saved. He had a daddy who preached such a rotten gospel that's amazing that he didn't turn out like some of his cousins. Being born again, not of incorruptible seed, but how? By the Word of God. By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth as long as you hang on. Huh? Well, you ain't got the Bible I've got, even if you've got the weakest translation in the world, it doesn't say that. But the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You received in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Yes, hallelujah. That's what He did. For all flesh. That's this part of me, is as grass. A lot of people need to be mowed. Oh, I heard somebody say, "Oh, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth." What are we talking about? The flesh. "And the flower thereof falleth away." That's your fleshly nature. "But the Word of God endureth forever." Have you received, as it says in 1 John, read the whole chapter, the Gospel of John, have you received Jesus? As many as received Him, the Logos, the Word, He gave them the authority. You gotta have authority over evil spirits. And you'll recognize them. If you know the Word of God, you'll recognize one of those people and there'll be something repulsive about them to your spirit, because your spirit's stronger than your flesh. The Word of God that endureth forever, and this. Hallelujah. This is the word by the gospel which we preach unto you. Now, we're just about ready. We're going to have to bring this to a close. We're talking about testing the spirits, trying the spirits. Now, have you had any proof that there's a part of you that's not corruptible, that's going to last forever, and that the devil can't mess with? Now, false teachers can ruin your fleshly life on this earth, but they can only eat your dust. What did God say to the serpent when he turned him into his damnable state? He said, "You'll eat dust all the days of your life." And I want to tell you something. I want to tell you good, and I want to tell you clear. In Jesus' name, and I've got to use that name because I don't have the right to say it without it, all the devil can have of me is my dirt. My rotten flesh. But he can't have mine, he can't have your spirit. Now, are you going to agree with that down in the depth of your soul? Are you going to drag around like some dead horse? Now, I'm just going to try to read to you. I'll try not to comment. I can't promise you I won't. 19th chapter of Revelation. Beautiful. This is the finito in Italian, the finish. Revelation 19, out of the King James translation. "And after these things, I heard a great voice of a few people in heaven." Is that what it said? You know, somebody got the idea because Jesus said it's an arrow. Well, the way to living the life of Christ on this earth and having the joy of being a believer on this earth is a narrow. You can't have the whole playing field. You just get to play your position. I don't know much about sports, but I know one thing. If the quarterback or the halfback or whatever back it is gets to the wrong place, that coach is going to chew that person out. You get on the playing field and play your place. And if whatever that is, you'll win the game if you stay where you should be. "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven." Where? In heaven! Well, that sure knocks the props out from that 144,000 theory, doesn't it? You might want to mark that and show it to them when they come around knocking on your door trying to say you don't know nothing, because you may not. But you'll know this much, that there's going to be not 144,000 get to heaven, but there's going to be much people in heaven. See, I can't quit preaching. They were saying, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore." That's the false church. The church that harbors demonic spirits in preachers and members. And a lot of people go whoring after that bunch. "I will not." You say you will not. You will follow the true and the living God, and you'll be the bride of Christ, not the whore of the devil, "which did corrupt the earth with her fornication." See, fornication really comes from a word that means to sell something. And you can always spot these false teachers, because you'll catch them with the money. The money will tell, because they just love money. Now, you may love money, but for God's sake, don't love it in order to get it through religion. You're going to get it, rob a bank. Don't rob God. I wouldn't advise you to do the first, but I mean, if you got to do it. And hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. That's to the false church, the false religion. And the 24 elders, don't get big deal on that. That 12 represent the Old Testament, 12 the New Testament representatives. And the four beasts, these are the good beasts. The King James doesn't make a difference between the good and the bad. The four glorious beasts fell down and worshiped God and sat on the throne, that sat on the throne saying, Amen! Yes, amen is not foreign in heaven. Shouldn't be foreign down here. Some of you heard E.V. Hill the other night. He told me that he said, would tell you when to say amen. Move his hand. Says, I know you got a, I think he said something, I got a bunch of Baptists out there and people that are afraid to say amen. So when I do like this, say amen. Scares some Baptists to death when somebody says, say amen. You say, I'm not going to say nothing unless I feel like it. Well, you might get the feeling like it if you say it. And the voice came from out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him or have reverence for him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, omnipotent, all-powerful, reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted she should be arrayed. She started out with being arrayed in the wrong thing. She shall be arrayed or dressed in fine linen. Fine linen is symbolic of righteousness. Clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said to me, Right. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. Now here's where John even shows his human side. And we get too carried away because somebody has been filled with the Holy Ghost and becomes a great worker for God, and God used them in a mighty way. And we think that they did it, so we get to where we think more of them than we do the God that gave it to them. Don't do that. Don't you ever get yourself with your eyes on a human being, because God is only using that person, and it's the God who uses them that you give glory to. These are the true sayings of God. Well, I fell at his feet as an angel's feet to worship him. That's the messenger. You don't worship the messenger. You worship the message. And he said to me, See thou do it not, the angel said. Don't you fall down and worship me, the messenger. I am thy fellow servant. And every true messenger of God is a slave of God. They're not looking for something for themselves. They're looking for something to glorify God. Talking about trying the spirits. Is that spirit you've been following, does it give glory to Jesus? Or are they trying to get something for themselves? I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the test, again, this is a tremendous sentence. S-E-N-T-S-E-N. For this is the for the testimony of Jesus, talking about Jesus. Everything you say about Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. How do you know whether a prophet has the spirit of the devil and his fallen angels or the spirit of God? Do they give total, complete, absolute, irrevocable
never-changing glory to Jesus. Now, I'm going to say something very harsh to some people. And you may never come back and hear me again, but that'll be your sad loss. If you believe you can lose your salvation after you have been saved by the glorious salvation of Jesus Christ, you have joined the crowd of evil spirits and you are close to blasphemy. Jesus saves. First of all, He saves you from the guilt and the penalty of sin. He saves you from the habit of sinning. Sin's a habit, a filthy habit. And then eventually He gives you a glorified body, and all the rest of it goes back to the dust, and the devil has to eat throughout all eternity. He's got His meal prepared for Him for all eternity. That's your rotten dust that was not of Jesus. Glory to God. Do you believe that there's an incorruptible part of you? There is if you have Jesus. If not, you're as corruptible as hell, and you're going to go there no matter how churchy you've been. Drop all the weight. Listen to me. That so easily besets you. What is it that so easily makes you fall down in the spiritual realm and get all turmoil? I'll tell you what it is. It's that which is not of the Holy Spirit of God. Be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be under the control, and then you won't have to worry about these fakes, because they'll have a smell about them that you can't stand. Glory to God. If you don't have Jesus tonight, come down here, and if you have to pray through, whatever that means, pray through. Pray whatever you have to do. Let's get it done to get you to Jesus. There's something between you and Him. Let's tear the wall down. Let's burn the gates. And let's let you into the Holy City as we stand today. May God bless this message to your heart tonight, O incorruptible one.
Turn your eyes upon
always
Jesus. Look full in His wonderful faith, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Look full in His wonderful